live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for September the 20th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our 202 and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration, ladies and gentlemen. The blueprint for liberty is the key to the exercise. Welcome indeed to Liberty Roundtable Live. Now, there's so much to cover. There's an event tonight at Liberty Hall in Far West Utah starting at 7 p.m., an extension of Constitution Week. You got to like that. Anyway, Dr. Scott Bradley will be one of the speakers at that event tonight. I'll be one of the other speakers along with a few ladies for Liberty. So it'll be a tremendous event. Please attend Liberty Hall tonight. You got to love it. All right, that in the can. I don't even know how to respond to this. Wow. The things you see in America are just shocking. Shocker, says the headline. Young Americans sign petition to kill the U.S. Constitution. There are a lot of outdated things in there that nowadays need to be abolished. Art Moore with the piece, WND.com, reports on it. But there's a video this lady put together. Listen to this. Then we'll talk about it with our co-host, Dr. Scott Bradley, in seconds. Check this out.
Hi, I'm Ophelia Jacobson with Campus Reform. Friday is Constitution Day, so we're talking to students at the University of Florida to get an idea of what their opinion is of the Constitution. Is it outdated? Do they think we need a brand new Constitution? Plus, will students go so far as to sign a petition to completely abolish the U.S. Constitution? Let's find out. So Constitution Day is on September 17th. What do you guys think of the Constitution?
Absolute terrible. Needs to be redone immediately.
I think it needs a lot more reform for the changes that have happened since then.
I think a lot of the things in there, they do need to be, like, reevaluated, I guess.
I think we just need to update it on, like, more equality, equity, stuff like that.
Okay, so the Constitution, I feel like it's outdated, like some of the stuff on there.
I think that our Constitution that we have for America is to some degree outdated, but I also think it is very historical.
You can't put a price on how valuable the Constitution is. I think when you look at us versus other countries throughout time, you know, no matter, you know, the crests and troughs that we face, the absolute, you know, security of our freedoms in the Constitution is what has kept this country together and kept us great through thick and thin.
Do you think the Constitution is outdated?
I mean, I think it has to be. It was written in the late 1700s. It wasn't written for the 21st century.
Extremely. It's completely outdated. It was written by those that don't represent the both of us at the moment, and it didn't represent everybody at the time.
Yes.
Yes, a tad.
There are a lot of outdated things in there that nowadays aren't accepted.
To an extent, like when people talk about the Second Amendment and like the right to bear arms.
Not all of it's necessarily the easiest applied to now.
Do you think that the Constitution is a portrayal of the patriarchy since it was created by the founding fathers?
Oh yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I would definitely say so, especially since when you reflect back on those who were writing it at the time and you see it's all old white men.
I mean, I think it's impossible not to. I mean, they didn't have another perspective, nor were they seeking it.
Absolutely, yes, I think so.
It should have been made by like a group of diverse people, but back then, you know how it was back then.
Yeah, I do, and I agree with her. Like, it should be revised by different people.
The time period, you know, was rich old white men, and that's exactly what that document says and stands for and vouches for.
I mean, just because words were written by men doesn't make it part of the patriarchy. I mean, if it were written by women, it wouldn't be the matriarchy.
I'm going around with this petition. As you can see, I've already gotten some of your fellow students to sign a petition to abolish the Constitution, create a whole new one, to be more inclusive, you know, more politically aware of our surroundings in 2021. Would you guys be willing to sign this petition?
Yes, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And would you be willing to sign that?
Sure.
it should be abolished. Like, it's time for a new constitution. It wasn't like pronouns like they, them, stuff like that either.
So we should include the new pronouns in the constitution?
Yeah, like to make everyone feel included.
The issues of social and cultural differences within our country have been such an issue, you know, predicated by the control that the federal government has over everything, and the federal government is governed by the Constitution. And
so you would say that the Constitution is the root of our issues in this country?
I mean, it's one of them. You could also lead it back to capitalism.
I would have to look into it, so I'm not going to make on like a decision on something I don't really know that well, that much about. In the future, if it comes a time that we need to, then I think we should.
Like, someone could like come up with one that's better, then sure, why not? Like, why not give it a try?
I would like to see a document, you know, in the future, to be put together by a more diverse group of people.
I think that is a very naive idea. I think a lot of people who, you know, see, you know, surface level problems tend to think, oh, maybe they'll just tear everything down. They don't realize that the Constitution and its guarantees have actually kept a lot of problems from happening.
Hi, I'm Ophelia Jacobson with Campus Reform.
All right, there you have it. What do you say to that, Dr. Scott Bradley?
Well, I guess I would say, duh. I mean, what we've done to our education system in the last several generations, actually, John Dewey really accelerated, considered to be the father of modern American education, an abject communist, and the founder of the institutions that train American teachers, and it spread across the nation into virtually, and maybe I say virtually because there may be some exception out there, but it's probably in every single college of education across the nation. I can't unequivocally state that, but I think it's so broadly spaced out there that we could say it's virtual. We have there's several things I'd love to say about this if there's time. I mean, the Humanist Manifesto needs to be reviewed for what is the baseline de facto lesson plan for the American public education system. It is a faith-based religion that has no God, and it is literally seeking the demise of the entire United States. But before maybe we get to that, I know we're going to run out of time real quickly, but let me give you three or four quotations by Thomas Jefferson, and I think it applies absolutely. By the way, most of these kids couldn't even hardly speak the plain English of the nation, let alone probably read the Constitution. But here's a few things from Thomas Jefferson. If a nation expects to be ignorant and free, in a state of civilization expects what never was and never will be. How about them apples? Okay. By the way, he's playing off of Hosea and Isaiah in the Old Testament. We could review those at some point if we wish to, but basically, they said our people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and that's where we are right now. Here's another statement by Thomas Jefferson. It should not be proposed to take the ordinary branches of education out of the hands of private enterprise, which manages so much better all the concerns to which it is equal. So what we've done is we've turned it over to a government indoctrination center, and this is what we're getting on the outcome, this blather that the kids were just spilling. Here's another one by Thomas Jefferson. Correct principles ought to be instilled into the minds of our youth on their first opening. The boys of the rising generation are to be the men of the next and the sole guardians of the principles we deliver over to them. Little commentary. If we fill our minds with blather and mush, that's what we're going to get out, and that's what we've been filling their minds with. It's a social agenda right from the get-go, and that's we're seeing the outcome of the woke generation. Okay, so one last one. I know we could probably go on and on and on, but it's time is of the essence. Education is the true corrective of abuses of constitutional power. And so those are some things by Thomas Jefferson. We could talk at length about a great little book that I first came across in 1963. It's haunted me ever since. It's called The Children's Story. It's by James Clavell, and it takes 20 minutes to read out loud. I felt so passionate about this in years past. I mean, it's a small, you know, just a little paperback that I bought cases of it and sent it out with my Christmas cards. since I've been haunted by it since 1963, I think everybody else should be. And basically what it is, the nation, America, is captured by a foreign power. And in 20 minutes, it takes a little isolated incident in a little second grade class. In 20 minutes, it shows how a teacher with the other philosophy unseats all the values, attitudes, and beliefs of these little second grade kids, innocent, sweet little children that are twisted and turned away from everything we cherish, God, family, and country, and how that educational system is fostered all across America under the new regime. I could tell you stories about things that happened in Southeast Asia after the fall of Saigon in 1975, and we could obviously go back to the source of all of this in our country, the Dewey educational process called the Humanist Manifesto, three manifestos that have been written, 1933, 73, and 2003, that have become the lesson plan of America. And in fact, hopefully when we get back to the break, because I'm pretty sure it's going to happen pretty soon, we could talk about their concept.
Oh, it starts the second you mentioned it, my friend. We'll talk more about it. The children's story, James Clavell, not necessarily just for children, incredible short book that'll really pull at your heartstrings and tell the tale of liberty, I'll tell you that. Hang tight. Dr. Scott Bradley with us. FreedomsRisingSun.com, his website. Weekly webinars on the Constitution and a whole lot more. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Hello, TPC family. It's James, and I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while, at the same time, exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com. AmericaFirst.com.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosher-tify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
Right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Scott Bradley with me. We're talking about the children's story. James Clavell, not just for children, I might add. 20, 25 minutes riveting reality of what could happen. I guess he basically talked to his daughter about it, and then it turned into a book. The children's story came into being that day, and there you have it. Very, very serious stuff, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Bradley, any more points on that?
Well, you know, people really do need to get the book. I mean, it is absolutely chilling. I very often, when I do lectures on education, I begin with that book, whether it's young kids or adults. I mean, I remember back in school when I was a kid and there was story time or we're going to see a film of some kind. It was kind of like you relaxed and you took it in. And so I sit at the front of the class and I take 20 minutes to read to the class this chilling children's story. But it parallels a friend of mine. I don't need to give you enough details to, I mean, you know, but I haven't seen him probably for 40 years. But at any rate, he was South Vietnamese. He had a wife and two little children. Got out of Saigon, if it wasn't the last plane, it was very close to that, with just the clothes on his back. And his, he always points out his Rolex watch he got out with. But at any rate, a very interesting story. But the rest of his family, who had spent a lot of time collaborating with the Americans while there, was left behind. And they're all put in re-education camps. And they were completely censured in their ability to communicate. But one day he got a letter, probably about 1977, from a sister that said, oh, you know, speaking of their brother, he is in such a good place. Things are going so well for him. He is so fortunate. It was a very effusive letter about how great their brother was doing. Well, of course, the communist censors were not privy to the fact that their brother had been killed in Hue in the 1968 Tet Offensive. And so she was saying basically the dead were better off than the living for what they were going through. And so, but that got through, and he received that letter because, oh, you know, the communists are saying, hey, there's some good news they're talking about there. But that's kind of what happens. And we have not been captured, well, not by a foreign power. We've been captured by an ideology that is utterly, totally, and completely un-Americanist. It's false. And these buffoons, these idiots that they call college students, have no idea that the United States Constitution has absolutely nothing to do with technology or any of these modern woke subjects. It has everything to do with human nature. Human nature is to accrue and then begin to abuse power. And the idea that the American Founding Fathers put in was limits and bounds on power that could be accrued and abused and ultimately and finally destroy the nation. And what they're trying to do is to take all those stoppers off. They have a complete misunderstanding of the things of human nature even, and they think that they've got a handle on everything. Daniel Defoe, about 86 years before the Constitution, said all men would be tyrants if they could. And, of course, Lord Acton said, you know, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And these are bookends, if you will, to what happened in 1787. And that was the basis to create an environment where there was enough of a government to do the things that were needful to for a national presence in the world, and no more. And it is limited and bounded completely. And the I don't know if you saw that USA Today article on Saturday, but it basically said, in banner terms, Biden has power to enforce his COVID mandates and then some, you know, kind of thing. I mean, it's complete idiocy. If you read the article, you'll find that they strain at gnats and swallow camels, and they're using a dangling participle, basically. It's not exactly that, but it's almost that insignificant, to claim that for some 1932, I believe it was, Supreme Court decision that a noted comment had no power, nothing in there whatsoever about an expansive U.S. power, but nonetheless, they're saying, whoa, this is what says Biden can do that. It is complete buffoonery, and you know what? Those people that can't read plain English, can't think, have never been taught anything that Jefferson spoke about in those few quotes I gave at the beginning. These are the people that are attempting to govern in America today, and they're no better off than the Paris Commune we talk about after the Franco-Prussian War. And they should be run out of town on a rail. That's the bottom line. And don't get me started, Sam. I'm here to tell you.
Well, the bottom line is, you know, they talk about everybody wanting to sue Biden, and then they say Joe Biden initiated a nationwide mandate ordering American employers with 100 more employees to force everyone to get vaccinated. Biden has a six-part plan. It's expected to affect nearly 80 to 100 million Americans, depending on how you define small business, etc. What are the consequences for something that does not comply with the mandate, they ask in USA Today? Is it the same as breaking the law? But they say, are mandates enforceable? And then they say, Biden's pathway to enforce the mandate is through the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, or OSHA. OSHA, which can require businesses and large companies to put safety regulations in place to ensure the health and the security of the people that work at a given company. So they're basically saying, in the past, OSHA has mainly worked focused on working conditions related to the property of the company. And they talked about one exception has been companies forcing to protect against hepatitis B. But that wasn't technically a mandate. Anyway, they go on and they basically say that, hey, you know what? Biden has authority through this. What does the Supreme Court say? And they go on and on. And they're basically looking at OSHA as the vehicle for the requirement. This guy's name is Brian Dean Abramson. They say he's the expert on vaccine law, I guess. Anyway, they go on and on. But Bayesian, they say, hey, even smallpox in the 19th century and early 20th century were enforced by the states. In addition to the vaccine requirement, for companies, employees are ordered to face legal coronavirus testing if they will not comply. Anyway, the bottom line is you get $14,000 per violation, they say, alongside the mandate with OSHA enforcing the fines. Anyway, it goes on and on, but I wanted to put some meat to that point in USA Today article that you pointed out, Dr. Scott Bradley. This is
serious. Hopefully after the break, we'll be able to talk about a lot of things. How, first of all, Biden isn't qualified to cross the street alone. He needs somebody to hold his hand. And from there, we could deconstruct all of the things that they're claiming in this kind of thing. OSHA has no constitutional basis for existing at all. There can be no regulatory power delegated by the legislature to create law such as they're seeking to do, because all legislative power is held by the Congress. I mean, this thing can go on and on and on. It can be deconstructed, but they're straining at gnats and seeking to swallow camels. It's time to say no more. We're done. We will no more comply with the idiocy that is coming out of virtually every level of government right now. But I suspect we're coming up on another break. It seems like I just jabber until it comes, you know?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, yes, we're going to come up on another break. We got a little bit of time before it, though. And there's a shocker about how these students are so ignorant on the Constitution. But there is some interesting information, in my opinion. Came out on Sunday. And it turns out that the 6 feet mandate for social distancing is arbitrary. Mr. Gottlieb, I guess. He was on an interview with CBS's Face the Nation. And it basically highlights that the 6 feet White House medical advisor basically said this is bogus. So now we're getting more information out about this, Dr. Bradley, that, you know what, the 6 feet was arbitrary. Now, you and I knew that forever, and we've mentioned it forever. This is nothing new to our listeners, but it is new in the sense that now you have this Gottlieb guy literally coming out and saying that. He says in the beginning, they didn't really have any evidence. They proposed 10 feet, but then some bureaucrat said 10 feet will never work. Got to do 6 feet. And then, as you know, Anthony Fauci later is trying to get it down to 3 feet. There's no science that backs the social distancing whatsoever. And they've now admitted it blatantly on Sunday on CBS's Face the Nation. We've been telling you that for a year and a half, but now they finally blatantly acknowledge the reality. Who's been peddling fake news, I ask? Dr. Bradley in seconds.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The FBI's reporting human remains found in Teton County, Wyoming, are consistent with the description of missing 22-year-old Gabby Petito. The cause of death has yet to be determined. A full forensic identification is underway. The search continues for her fiancé, Brian Laundrie. The Senate parliamentarian ruled Sunday that Democrats cannot include pathways to citizenship in the $3.5 trillion spending package. This package only has the support of Democrats in Washington with zero Republican support. $3.5 trillion is roughly the equivalent of how much the United States spent on World War II. President Biden's open border policy continues to worsen at the U.S.-Mexico border. U.S. authorities on Sunday have closed part of the Texas border to block Haitian migrants from entering through Mexico. Thousands of Haitian refugees are now building makeshift camps in the region. Border Patrol Chief Raul Ortiz reported more than 3,000 migrants have been removed from the camps. USA Radio News.
If you drive a car, truck, SUV, or vehicle of any kind, you need GetUpside, the free gas app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy. That's right. With the free GetUpside gas app, you can get up to 25 cents a gallon cash back every time you buy gas. Nearly 3 million people have earned cash back with GetUpside just for buying gas.
I always use GetUpside. Some months, I make $200 to $300.
I love getting money back for things I use every day. It's just free money for buying gas.
There's no catch. It's simple. And you get your cash back right away.
Download the free GetUpside app now in the App Store or Google Play to save up to 25 cents per gallon when you buy gas. Use promo code BEACH for a 25 cent per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's up to 50 cents a gallon on your next fill up. You can cash out anytime to PayPal or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Earn cash back on gas on every fill up. Just download the free GetUpside app and use promo code BEACH for a 25 cent per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code BEACH.
A volcanic eruption has taken place in the Canary Islands. Dan Naraki from the Ohio USA Radio News Bureau explains.
Thousands of people are evacuating from one of the Canary Islands in the Atlantic as a volcanic eruption has begun. The eruption on the island of La Palma has prompted local authorities to evacuate between 5 and 10,000 people living in villages near the mountain. Videos on social media show lava flows engulfing houses, though no injuries have been reported. Spanish Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez has reportedly postponed his trip to the meeting of the UN General Assembly to travel to La Palma to see the situation firsthand. From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
Three-time congressman and failed presidential and senatorial candidate Beto O'Rourke is planning to run for governor of Texas, according to a report on Sunday. O'Rourke recently paid for some state Democrat lawmakers to run away from Texas to prevent the passage of an election integrity bill. That was eventually passed after the delay. Oscar-winning actor Matthew McConaughey has also been publicly flirting with the campaign since March. This is USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So this is fascinating. On Face the Nation, former FDA chief admits 6-foot social distancing not based on clear science. His name is Scott Gottlieb, and he was on Face the Nation. And he says 6 feet rule was arbitrary, not based on science at all, and one of the costliest reality checks we've had to face. Anthony Fauci said in March that the CDC was analyzing data to see if the agency would shorten social distancing guidelines from 6 feet to 3 feet. Now, I guess this happened after a new study said, hey, the 6 feet doesn't have any real validity, and school kids would be safe at 3 feet, etc. But my point is, whatever happened with that, I mean, I don't hear anybody saying you can reduce and or jettison social distancing. Now, I don't believe social distancing has any value anyway. But nevertheless, there you have it. Now they're blatantly admitting it, even in the mainstream press, Dr. Bradley.
Well, we've been saying all along that, you say, follow the science. Well, thus far, they haven't presented any science. It's been by guess and by golly. It's been slapshot. It's been simply a politically driven, agenda-based solution to everything that's happened. And I would even contend that the science on the so-called vaccine has not been science. It's been a preconceived notion about how they're going to do something, but there has been nothing on it has gone through all the safety gates. They rushed it through by their own definition at warp speed. They have done everything they've done to facilitate a short fuse on this thing, and I've said so many times on your program that from the very moment this started, my very first media interview, I could tell that they had absolutely determined that we're talking early March 2020, they had it wasn't just a storyline or a narrative, it's a script. All the talking heads were on the same page. They had been handed a script that said, this is where we've got to get the people prepared for, and it was going to be mandatory vaccinations. There was never, ever any other end game. Now, of course, the end game is way beyond mandatory vaccines in terms of totalitarian control and everything else like that. But these things that they've been throwing out there and imposing on us, I don't know if maybe some of your listeners will go review some of the things that they're saying in that USA Today article, but they're talking about the idea of the mandatory lockdowns. We're talking throwing away habeas corpus, you know, Article 1, Section 9. You can't hold people incarcerated without a hearing, and this is totally, completely, unequivocally healthy people. That this past year, you know, we're going to go 2 weeks to flatten the curve. It's been 78 or 79 weeks now, and there has been no let-up whatsoever. And so they throw away habeas corpus and say that basically that's holding someone incarcerated without any hearing, okay? They haven't been brought before a judge and reviewed the evidence and everything else. That hasn't happened. And so there's considerations to go back to that. And, of course, in some countries they're already doing that, you know? And it's absolutely, it's like solitary confinement. You get 1 hour a day outside. All the things that really will make you healthy are being prevented from happening. And that's what these buffoons that are claiming to govern at this point are seeking to bring about. And they're not qualified to govern. They just simply are not. And it's all agenda-driven political process for the destruction of the great principles in the nation, and they're claiming constitutional authority to do that. It's interesting to me, if you read, well, we could go through a whole bunch of statements by the founders, but let's just stick with the Constitution for a moment. Let's look at the Ninth Amendment. It says even if we didn't mention a right, you've still got it. It's all yours. It's still there. You could never enumerate all your rights. And of course, one of the rights that the American founders were well aware of, as discussed by Blackstone, is the right to travel and move about, okay? And they're without impediment, okay? So, I mean, that's just one of millions, perhaps billions of rights you have. And then the 10th Amendment says, if we didn't give the general government, the national government, the federal government, people call it different terms, but it is neither national or federal. We talk about that often. It is a general government. If we did not delegate to that government, it does not have that power. And that power was not delegated to do this nonsense. The idea that they can fine businesses with over 100 employees. Huh? Where did that come from? How could they? And they say, oh, OSHA can do things for safety. OSHA is an alphabet soup organization that was created unconstitutionally by the Congress. And Congress delegated to them unconstitutionally, because you can't redelegate your lawmaking authority to anybody else. Congress unconstitutionally delegated to OSHA and all these other alphabet soup organizations the authority to create law to be imposed upon Americans. Oh, it's not law. They say it's policy. If it's enforced like law, it's law, kids. This is a violation, a blatant violation of the United States Constitution. And if they're going to lean on this idea of OSHA being able to control these kinds of things, well, let's talk about, again, this idea of the Supreme Court decision that Jacobson v. Massachusetts back in 1905. The guy paid a $5 fine and didn't have to get vaccinated. I mean, come on, people. Get conscious of your life and what's really going on with you. And it's absolutely absurd what they're promoting.
It is, but there you have it. And I don't know what people are going to be able to do about it. It seems like most people are just simply not engaged in the battle for liberty, and they need to be. We're going to be in serious trouble. So former FDA chief admits social distancing guidelines not based on clear science. No one knows where they got the 6-foot rule, folks. They're just full of garbage. And then we, you know, they act like we're supposed to trust them, and they don't understand why we don't trust them, and et cetera, et cetera. Now, Fauci said he was going to try to reduce the 6-foot rule to 3-foot rule. Do you know if he ever did that? He never got that done, did he? It's just kind of gone in the minutia of confusion. No one even knows what the social distancing rules should be. right? Back in March, well, analyzing data. What happened? Do you know, Dr. Bradley?
Well, no, there has been absolutely zero justification for this from scientific processes. And you can add to that this absolutely absurd masking mandate, so-called. It's like these cloth masks we prayed around in, these face diapers, they have zero scientific evidence that any of these things in any way, shape, or form reduce the spread of the virus. I mean, if you've ever reviewed again, we go back to some of these OSHA mandate things, the idea of masking, there is no justification scientifically for what they're causing, you know, in the public education system, in our stores. I mean, I see people driving alone in their car with their mask on. And I say, good heavens, we've got mass insanity going on. And we've got, we've had about a year and a half of oxygen deprivation going on. And so we've shut down some more of the chips in our brain by depriving that. You put a mask on, you occlude the exchange of the body gases. And you're rebreathing the stuff your body's expelled. And you're not bringing in the fresh air that hopefully will be out there someday again. But my heavens, there's nothing scientific about this. And then they come up with a so-called vaccine. Again, there's no safety data on this thing other than a few days. We don't have a clue what months look like. And when people 2 or 3 months after the so-called vaccine are keeling over dead with heart attacks and strokes and paralysis and embolisms and all those kind of things, and it's like, oh, no, it couldn't be that. No. They took their second dosage 3 weeks ago. No, there's no relation. They don't know. And in fact, I believe it's 2027 when they're going to have some of the closure on some of the evidence on this massive human experiment they're doing on everybody right now, because they're supposed to be tracking this thing for the next 4, 5, 6 years to see what's happening. They don't have any idea about fertility issues that'll happen. They're now pushing to get little children vaccinated, and it may cause sterility, and these little kids will never have children. We don't know. We don't know, and nobody can say definitively that they're safe and effective. And by the way, if you've been double vaccinated, and now they're going to do they're working towards a booster shot, and on top of that, we're finding thousands of cases where people that have been double vaccinated are experiencing this. Well, you know, it doesn't get all of the disease, so everybody's got to get vaccinated. Wait. If it's a vaccine, it prevents you from getting it, and it prevents you from spreading it. But no, that's not what they're telling us now. There isn't one shred of anything that has any validity that they're telling us.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think that CNN documented that they did update the social distancing guidelines from 6 feet to 3 feet. But my question, what gives them science on the 3 feet? They never had it on 6 feet. Maybe we got to push for 1.5 feet. What do you think?
I reinstated a policy first put in place by President Ronald Reagan, the Mexico City policy. I strongly supported the House of Representatives' pain-capable bill, which would end painful late-term abortions nationwide. And I call upon the Senate to pass this important law and send it to my desk for signing. We are protecting the sanctity of life and the family as the foundation of our society. And most importantly of all, it is the gift of life itself. That is why we march. That is why we pray. And that is why we declare that America's future will be filled with goodness, peace, joy, dignity, and life for every child of God.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
So I've now documented on March 2021, they did reduce the requirements from 6 feet to 3 feet. So my question for them is, for the whole year that it was 6 feet, that was fake news, right, Dr. Bradley?
Well, there's no question. And again, I stand by my statement that everything that's happened thus far has been fake news. Now, there are people that deny whether or not any kind of sickness even exists. And without even going there, let's give them the fact that they have some kind of sickness, likely caused by a gain-of-function process that Fauci and his crew paid for, first of all, beginning in North Carolina and taking over to Wuhan. And I mean, there's someone I know quite well that I found out yesterday. She believes that when she got what she got, it was completely unnatural. Every single I don't know what you'd call it, symptom that she seemed to experience seemed to be a mix and match of things that had never, ever run together before in humanity's life.
Well, that's for sure. It crosses literally, and I've been talking to some very, I'm trying to think of the word to say, very alternative but yet mainstream doctors. And what I mean by that is they accept alternative viewpoints and understandings, but they're mainstream medical doctors. And so they get kind of both sides of this where most medical doctors don't, or most other natural practitioners don't see the medical side, right? So there's usually kind of a division there. These people are enough of both to be just incredible. Anyway, the reason that I bring this up is they were telling me that, listen, the coronavirus, COVID-19, whatever you want to call it, every strain, is designed to literally attack every organ in your body. It's designed to create inflammation and attack every organ in your body. And based on your immune system, what it does is it discovers the weak parts in you. That's why it attacked me in my lungs so hard, whereas others, it doesn't. Others have kidney trouble. Others have et cetera, because it creates inflammation in the body everywhere. And when the inflammation happens, then it literally discovers what organs can be exploited. This is never the reality in the past in history when it comes to viruses or illnesses, etc. They don't just literally create inflammation everywhere and then attack every organ in your body to find out which ones are vulnerable. That's why this is so deadly. This even, according to these doctors that I've been talking to, even points to more gain-of-function reality, Dr. Bradley.
Well, here's the thing, though. I mean, even beyond that, when you get an opportunity, people really should do their research on this. Those that are involved in some kind of pathological review of tissue that has been taken from and during the review of dead bodies that they've gone through and done an autopsy on, and they take tissue from different organs in the body. And they find that those that are post-vaccine, so they have received their two doses, they end up broken because of some event that happens, whether it's a stroke that on a, you know, a 28-year-old, or a heart attack on a 32-year-old, or whatever, something that's totally unexpected, although they may happen on rare occasion. They're happening way often nowadays. At any rate, so they do these pathological reviews of the tissues, the different organ tissues, and they're finding an inflammatory kind of exposure and manifestation all through the entire body. Many blood clots and inflammations, and it's kind of like, whoa, wait a minute. are we injecting ourselves with a spike protein that has really been the cause of all these problems? And ultimately and finally, will be the Delta variant or whatever happens to come out of the manifestation of whatever's the next flavor of what's going on? Are the vaccines literally triggering those kind of responses? And to tell you the truth, at this point, nobody can say yes or no. You know, you get on the major media, you say, oh, no, there's no relation. There's nothing. The state of Utah Health Department has made some blatant, over-the-top assumption statements about how few adverse reactions, particularly deaths, have happened in the state of Utah. And it's like, wait, I probably personally know more people that have unexpectedly died since the vaccine became on the scene than they're saying happened in the state of Utah at all. And it's because they discount everything. In fact, there's a regulation now that says, oh, no, we're going to count you as unvaccinated if you die within 2 weeks of receiving the second dose. But wait. What if the second dose caused the death? Well, no, you're unvaccinated because the vaccine has not had time to fully take effect in your body. So therefore, we're counting your death as an unvaccinated death. But what if the vaccine caused the death? See, they're manipulating at every single turn. And this is disingenuous, and that's a really nice way to say a lie. This is disingenuous at every level, and the media is completely complicit and facilitating it. And that's why most Americans probably have got their head in the sand on their, I don't know if they're willfully ignorant because they haven't taken the time to think about this.
No, I think they're just lying.
Yeah, maybe.
I've just seen so much hostility towards anybody that doesn't accept their standard line that I'm convinced that it's on purpose. Ladies and gentlemen, one thing we really need to focus on is this. COVID-19, can we tackle the root cause of inflammation? And I think the answer is yes, we can, and that's what we need to focus on, ladies and gentlemen. Researchers in Spain and the United States and all over the world are trying to work on this, but the mainstream press and your government won't talk about it. Now, strange bedfellows, interestingly enough, Bill Maher, or mayor, or whatever you want to call this guy, Bill Maher, he blasted liberal media for scaring the, quote, SH out of people and making them afraid to even go out of the house. He said this during the, I guess he was on TV there saying this, and I just find that very, very interesting. He was on Jimmy Kimmel Live. And he basically blasted the liberal media saying, you know what, you're scaring the crap out of people during the ongoing pandemic, and it's got to stop. And, you know, so I rarely agree with Bill Maher, but in this case, he's right, Dr. Bradley.
Well, that's absolutely these talking heads. By the way, these talking head TV shows, I don't even know who they all are nowadays, you know. I go back to the Johnny Carson days. But at any rate, what happens is that these are used as to shape public opinion. And, you know, they have a lot of people that, you know, they're laying there in bed watching TV, I guess. I don't know what people think. Why are they laying in bed watching TV? Anyway, that's another discussion. But the point of the matter is, in the late night talking head shows, and they use them to shape the opinion by their agendas that they play. And I remember back in 1968 when seven silver screen stars, the cowboys that knew how to handle six shooters, got a request from Lyndon Johnson to get his 1968 Gun Control Act through. It would have had no chance whatsoever of getting through Congress. And they got these guys that supposedly were manly men and knew how to use guns and everything like that. They'd sit there and talk on the show, you know, people, we've got to have some common sense here. You know, I mean, because we'd had, you know, John F. Kennedy and Bobby Kennedy and Martin Luther King, you know, get killed. Suddenly they're going to use these panic modes to get this through. They said, pick up your phone, call your congressman tomorrow, tell them they need to vote for this common sense gun control, because really we can't continue this slaughter. Well, these six guys, single-handedly, almost single-handedly, there were six hands, or six sets of hands, that changed the course of America in the Second Amendment. And you'd be shocked as to who they were. But the fact of the matter is, including, by the way, Charlton Heston, future president of the NRA. But the fact of the matter is that they got it done through these talking head shows. That's what they're doing today. They're bringing the message of you must fear, you must doubt, you must be in despair. Oh, ain't it awful, we're all going to die. And before you know it, the panic levels have risen to the point that people will accept almost anything if they can just be sure that they're going to be safe. And you know what? Life is life. Life and death occur. And you know, the old saying years ago was pneumonia was the old man's friend because it allowed him to get released into his heavenly realm again, ultimately and finally, and people died. And that's the way it was. And I'm not saying we should blatantly run everybody down the street and, you know, cause mass death and all this kind of stuff. But the fact of the matter is, we didn't have any increase of death last year over what the normal number of deaths are in a given year. In fact, they were slightly lower in 2020.
The point of the matter is on this, really, that death is a part of life, ladies and gentlemen. And yes, there's elderly people dying, but if they don't die of COVID, they will die of pneumonia, or they will die of the flu, or they will die of falling in a hip fracture, or they will die of... There are ways God has created to take us out of this world, just as there are ways he brought us into this world. And I bring this up to say that, you know what, we need to be pro-life, without a doubt, but we also need to realize death is a part of God's eternal plan. And we're not embracing death, but we're also saying, let's not pretend the arm of flesh can rescue us from death either. And let's be clear about this COVID scenario. Do people get very sick? Yes, they do. I'm living proof. But are there natural health and healing solutions and very inexpensive drugs and medication that can make a huge difference? Yes, and they're not telling you anything about it. And Dr. Bradley, one of the things that I like to bring up is they claim everybody's going to the hospital. But they also tell you that you need to go to the hospital when you can't breathe. But they also have outlawed oxygen, right? Well, if we're going to go ahead and make a temporary change, why don't we quit outlawing oxygen and let people get oxygen who need it? Then you might not need to go to the hospital. Why don't they do that?
Everything's a contradiction, and it's so amazing to me. And by the way, I'm personally aware of some instances where, let's just take the hospital systems in Idaho, for example, where I happen to have some personal relationships up there. These hospitals have said, you will be vaccinated by this date, or we're going to fire you. Well, now they're found out that they've got enough pushback from the people that are saying, no, we're not going to get vaccinated, fire us. You know, and then we'll sue you. And so the hospitals are saying, well, because we care about our patients, we are not going to require you to be vaccinated or else we're going to fire you. Because they know they cannot continue to operate their business if that happens. Americans need to say, we're not going to do this anymore. And Joe Biden, notwithstanding in his 80 or 100 million people that he's going to require to be vaccinated because they've got control over everybody's business. All of that's a lie. Everything, ultimately and finally, if sanity ever prevails again in this nation, all of that will be thrown out. But in the interim, a lot of good people are going to get hurt. It's time to say, no, we're done. We're moving ahead with life. And you know what? There's risk in life, and we're willing to take it. I really personally believe our days are numbered and our years are known. And whenever it's time to go back to our Heavenly Father, it's just the way it is.
But let's be very clear, though. If I have more time on this earth, according to God's eternal plan, COVID or not, I will live. Let's be very clear about that, too, ladies and gentlemen. Because that's not my time to die. I got COVID. I got really sick. I found alternative solutions, and I live as a result. So trust in God Almighty, not in the arm of flesh, ladies and gentlemen. Reject the fake news of the mainstream press. Now they're down to 3 feet for social distancing. Let's just push for a foot and a half, shall we? I joke, but to make the point, these folks aren't based in science. They're flat-out dishonest liars. And so we cannot trust them, and we must move forward trusting in God Almighty. Pretty bold but clear commentary from Liberty Roundtable Live. Thanks for being with us. FreedomsRisingSun.com is Dr. Bradley's site. LibertyRoundtable.com is mine. LovingLiberty.net, our syndicated network. God save the Republic.